Olivia and Matilda are normal girls. They go to a normal school, they have the same dreams as their friends, but their life is about as far from normal as normal could be.
Well, on a school day, we have our own alarms. We wake up by ourselves because Mum's normally still like in bed because...
She has trouble sleeping at night, so usually in the morning she's still asleep.
Yeah, so I get up and then I go into her room. I get our dog, Ted. It can be really difficult if Mum's really having like a low day and like say we've got some like important test. And normally I'm thinking about, oh, how's Mum doing at home? Is she okay? What if she's like really bad? Which kind of puts me a bit off focus, but then I know that Mum would want us to like stop thinking about her and really think about our education.
Along with the everyday usual things that young people do, in addition to homework, socializing, clubs and hobbies, on top of all the things normal children contend with, peer pressure, exams, study, growing and life in general, Olivia and Matilda are young carers. From the Useful Media Company, with funding from the Audio Content Fund, this is Are You Aware We Care? Episode 1. We begin this 6-part series by asking a simple question. What is a young carer? We'll investigate this question more thoroughly over the coming weeks, but the definition placed into law in 2014 is explained here by Helen Ledbetter from the Children's Society.
There is a definition outlined in the Children and Families Act, which is of anybody under the age of 18 who provides or intends to provide care for another person. The intends to provide element of that definition means that we need to be thinking ahead and providing early help and preventing young people from becoming young carers. And so... So it's anybody really under the age of 18 caring for someone, and that could include parents, siblings, grandparents. Often young carers may care for more than one person. We forget sometimes that they may not live in the same household as the person that they care for. If they're caring for, I don't know, for example, grandparent down the road, or others as well. And really, they could be caring for somebody with any kind of physical or mental ill health needs, stigmatised illnesses, such as parental mental illness. We've delivered programmes around young carers in families affected by HIV, where the stigma really prevents them from kind of asking for help or telling anyone the needs that they have. Or somebody with alcohol and substance misuse issues, again, where there may be kind of stigma or secrecy around coming forward and asking for help.
Midway through the pandemic, we caught up with Olivia and her sister Matilda over Zoom to find out how normal really was to them.
Well, we've always really seen like caring as like normal, but...
because I mean, like we've kind of had it our whole lives, because we don't really know like a specific point where we started doing it more or anything. It's just kind of... happened. So when we were younger, obviously our mum looked after us a lot more, and then gradually as we all got older, we just kind of ended up doing it on our own. We don't really know when the specific point it was.
Well, for me personally, it's a bit of both, because obviously I see Mum every morning because they go and get Ted to take him out, and normally I'll be like, oh yeah, hi Mum, you're right today, and she'll be like yeah or no and tell me what she's gonna be doing for the day and how she's really feeling. But if it's like a bad day for her, then obviously when I'm still gonna think about her, like, oh, she's home by herself. And but if she's like all right, Emma's just thinking about like, I don't know, going to school, making sure I've got everything.
School is about the most normal thing a young person in the UK could do. But for a young carer, attending school can be difficult because, despite being so young, the responsibility of being a carer comes first. You can't help but worry about what is going on at home, and this often has an impact on what happens in the classroom. So, what is the biggest concern for the sisters?
Probably that Mum's on her own, because it's the reason that we got our dog Ted, because he's a therapy dog. Because we always go to school, our mum's at home alone, our dad's at work, all four of us girls are at school, so she's kind of like on her own. And obviously she has depression, so it's probably not a good thing that she's on her own.
We got him registered as a therapy dog, and he's
so that
like,
Mum can like take him places. So yeah, if she needs to like go into shops or anything, he can come.
And he's like a small little Maltipoo, which a Maltese crossed in a toy poodle, so he's really small. He's 2 years old, he turned 2 last month, so yeah, he's perfect for Mum.
So a therapy dog is basically just there to make you feel comfortable. So if you want to talk to them, you can just stroke them, and it's just supposed to make you feel calm.
And I know experience like other therapy animals, they're just like seen as like a service dog. So for people like depression,
anxiety,
and anxiety, stuff like that, dog can help, because obviously they're your best friend. You can, like, they're there whenever you need them, and they like care about you. And I know there's such things like other therapy animals, but yeah, we got Ted registered because he's really helped mum's depression.
Well, before we would go into somewhere, and then they'd be like, oh no, sorry, you can't have a dog in here, they need to wait outside. But he can't wait outside because, like, he's there for a reason. So before that, before he was registered, he was like in the process of being registered, so we couldn't actually have a reason for him to be in there, but at the same time we kind of did, but he wasn't exactly registered yet. So we would have to wait outside with Ted whilst mum like went into the shop or something.
Yeah, but now because he's registered, he has like, he wears this little top and it says therapy dog on the back, and a lead that has like therapy dog on it. So it makes it a bit more aware. Whenever we saw mum like with him, she was just a lot happier.
She's a lot happier because she is someone at home now when we're all at school.
And Ted's like her little baby, like his best friend.
At the age of just 13, the sisters never really switched their thoughts away from home. They always have part of their mind on mum's well-being, never quite fully focused on school.
It can be really difficult if mum's really having like a low day, and like say we've got some like important test, and normally I'm thinking about, oh, how's mum doing at home? Is she okay? What if she's like really bad? Which kind of puts me a bit off focus, but then I know that mum would want us to like stop thinking about her and really think about our education.
Plus with homework and things, because I got a detention for not doing my homework, but Dad was away for work for the week, so I was doing more at home. So then I kind of had to explain to my teacher, and it was a bit weird because surely she should know. But I had to like explain to her that, yeah, things at home aren't the same as everybody else. And she didn't really give us a lot of time to do it, so I got detention, but I managed to explain to her.
Yeah, most of the teachers know, but obviously every year that you move, you have different teachers, and it's difficult to explain to every single one of them your situation, and, like, so they
because
could, like, understand you too.
Because have no idea.
Yeah.
You'd think that a young carer feels a sense of guilt, or even jealousy, that the life they have been given has more challenges than their friends. However, the unifying feeling from all young carers is the same.
Well, I'd say we're quite proud. Honestly,
I like, well, it's just what we've grown up with, so yeah. To us it's our normal. So,
and whenever anybody's like curious or anything, I don't care about telling them, because frankly more people should know.
Yeah, and I'm like not ashamed of it. I'm happy to talk about it, like ask me questions about it. I really don't mind, because it's, I don't know, it's just who I am.
Over the last 2 decades, an incredible amount of work has been done by the Children's Society to raise awareness about young carers. But even now, some young carers still feel they're hidden from the world, and even in some situations, have never even been heard of. The sisters told us how their friends, teachers, and classmates view their situation.
More students should know, because something will happen, and then someone will ask me about it, and I'll be like, oh, it's because I'm a young carer, and then they'll be like, oh, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, and also with like school, the way we found it is because it was like advertising the school planner, which I think is good. But obviously, like with New Year's, like New Year 7's come on, and obviously they have no idea what that's all even about. So like, I feel like more people should talk about it.
Yeah, because a lot of students don't know what it is.
They don't know what it is, and they might not know that they are a young carer themselves.
Here's Helen Ledbetter, the lead for young carers from the Children's Society, who has been campaigning for 20 years on behalf of the Hidden Army of incredible young people. She told us how the charity has been working with multiple sectors, including social services, schools, and healthcare providers, to help them become more young carer aware.
We deliver lots of training to professionals across all different sectors, such as kind of social services, social workers, schools, health workers, other kind of voluntary sectors, so charities, community groups, diagnosis and treatment centres, to be thinking about being young carer aware. And it amazes me, but still many people aren't aware of who young carers are, or that there are children out there providing care for somebody. And really, it, to be asking the right questions in those places about who provides your care. So, for example, health services, your GP or your hospital or wherever it is, your diagnosis and treatment centres, may be the first place that families go to with ill health or disability needs if they need help. But actually, what we find is that health services may be least likely to identify young carers because they are focused, of course, upon the medical model or the care for the person. But by asking those kind of just key questions, you know, who lives with you, who provides your care, who helps look after you, and then referring on to a social services or a young carers group, for example, could be the key kind of place to identify young carers.
And yet, with all the campaigning, legislation and changes in law, some young carers still feel that more needs to be done to educate other young people about the work they do for the people they love. Olivia and Matilda told us about the lack of young carer aware topics in their personal development days.
So personal development day we have at school every 2...